Welcome back to The State of Belief. I'm Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch in conversation with Kea Chatterjee, Executive Director of Free DC. I am curious, like, how Free DC is communicating with other, especially cities, because other cities that are under threat right now. And I understand DC has a very particularity behind it, its own history, its own. But, you know, there are similarities in the sense of, you know, let's just say it, like democratic cities, one, often cities led by Black mayors. I am curious, like, are you in touch with people in Chicago, Baltimore, other cities that have come up on the list? Noticeably, of course, Speaker Johnson's city is not included on that list, ironically. Say a little bit about the way you're imagining DC can actually help other cities prepare for what might be coming.
Yeah, I mean, we are in touch with other cities. I have been in touch with folks in certainly LA, Chicago, Boston, New York. Just to make sure that we want to share whatever we've learned. And of course, people in Baltimore are, you know, often are in our community and are coming to DC. They're very proximate to us. So we think it's really, really important for us to be in solidarity with each other, and have been helping in any way we can. You know, the other hat I wear is with a group called Freedom Trainers, and we actually travel and do trainings of trainers, so that people in communities can learn the skills of what it takes to bring a democracy not back to where it was, but back to a better place, and what it will require of us, and what are the skills that we'll need. So yes, DC is quite different in many ways from these other cities in that both were smaller. You know, it's 700,000 people. But also the stakes are very high, because if a dictator controls the capital, it's really, really hard to stop them if they silence dissent here. And also we're unique in that we lack critical power that all of these other communities have, in that they have the protection of, of having these rights that we don't have, right? We don't control the National Guard. We don't, the U.S. attorney that the regime picks charges people. We don't, you know, we're not able to even control our local laws. They froze our $1.1 billion of our locally raised tax dollars earlier this year. So we lack critical power. But I think that has made us have to be more organized and more creative, and then we can share that learning with other cities. Not to say that the other cities also don't have amazing and creative organizers.
Course.
I should say, like, it's pretty, like our community in every place I have gone has been inspirational.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I mean, and it doesn't have to be, you know, you flying in and telling everybody what to do. What are you preparing for? Do you see an end game or a next game, I guess, for all the organizing that Free DC and others are doing in DC?
I mean, of course, the future very much depends on our actions, right? We have a lot of agency. You know, we saw in December in South Korea that the President Yoon declared martial law, and 48 hours later, he was gone. He's been impeached because the labor union said, like, absolutely not. We're calling a general strike. And then he said, oh, that strike is illegal. And they said, no, you're illegal. The K-pop people came out. People poured into the streets. So we know that, like, what happens from here very much depends on our agency and how we behave collectively. At the same time, we also know how this plays out in other dictatorships where we don't get fast U-turns, if you will. And so we know that, you know, there will be, you know, their electoral strategy is and has been backed up by a threat of violence. So our electoral strategy must be backed up by a threat of nonviolent noncompliance. Like, we're not going to allow elections to be stolen is the way we win through elections, in the same way that, you know, Milosevic in Serbia was taken down by election, the same way Pinochet was taken down by election. That requires a great deal of organizing apart from the election. So we fully anticipate that they will do what they say, and they will try not to allow a transfer of power, and they will try to ignore any restraint on their power. So far, they've been able to intimidate and bribe anyone who gets in their way in Congress. But if that does not hold, we know that they really, you know, have broadcast that they plan to not leave at the end of their term. And so we have to, you know, we have to be prepared for these kinds of things as a community. We have to put an end to it. And so, like, that's why we're organizing under the banner of Free DC. That's why we need allies around the nation to help us. We have on our website, freedcproject.org/allies and freedcproject.org/occupation, where people in other states can help us. For example, there are many states that have sent their National Guard to DC right now. That doesn't happen to other states, right? Like, other states' National Guards are here. That puts them in danger because we're in the middle of a climate crisis too. And so Tennessee is still underwater. You know, all these Gulf states that could have hurricanes, we're in the middle of hurricane season. Their guard is here instead. And so we know that whatever comes, we will have to be organized, and we will have to stand together as a nation, as a people who want to experience democracy and equality. And, you know, the things they say are bad words: diversity, equity, inclusion. These are beautiful words, right? These are beautiful things that we stand for as a community. And we will need to stand together. I think the longer horizon of what I see in the future of DC is a free DC. That's why we call it Free DC. What I envision for DC is liberation. What I envision for DC is that the beautiful communities and neighborhoods that we have here are able to live and be themselves, right? Like I have a romance novel coming out in October that is about, you know, taking down authoritarians. But, like, in my vision of the future, people can do the fun thing they enjoy doing. For me, writing romance novels, they won't have to fight every day tooth and nail for every single one of their rights against a regime that is taking them away one by one. And so, there's different time spans to the future.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can't let this go by. What's the name of your romance novel, and how could people get it? I didn't know this was a book promotion, but now I'm really down for it. So tell us everything. I'm sure we can do pre-order. What is the book?
You can pre-order it. It's called The Revolution Will Not Be Rated G.
Woo! Good title. I am there for it. Okay, let's go. This is good.
It's a romance between an activist and the son of a fascist that takes place. It's a happy ending, as all romances are. The genre is known for it. And so it ends with a general strike that succeeds. I can give that part away.
This sounds like everything that we all need right now, which is a little romance, a little activism, and a little hopeful future. So say the name one more time. And if you have a preferred place that people can order it, let me know.
Yeah, it's The Revolution Will Not Be Rated G. Of course, you can order it anywhere, but we are trying to take away the resources that power this regime. So please don't buy it in a place that gives money to Jeff Bezos. You can go to bookshop.org or any local shop and get it.
Go to your local bookstore and ask them to have it on the shelf. I think that sounds great. Let me ask you a last question that I'm really, you know, kind of... doubling down on is, what does courage look like to you today?
It looks like community. That is where we are seeing courage come from. It's really scary to be by yourself right now, and that's exactly how they want us. And, you know, my colleague, Daniel, often says that, like, we earned this coup by not knowing our neighbors. And we will unearn it by knowing our neighbors. It is only in community that we will turn this around. And the places where I see courage are the places where people don't feel alone. So we have to come together right now.
Mm. Kaya Chatterjee is co-founder and executive director of Free DC, a civic campaign defending Washington, D.C.'s home rule and protecting civil liberties and democratic dignity of its residents. In addition to numerous leadership roles at national social and climate justice organizations, Kaya is the author of the book, The Zero Footprint Baby, and has a new book coming out, The Revolution Will Not Be Rated G.
Okay.
Thank you for all that you're doing and for all the inspiration that you've given us today, and also the tactical, clear ways that you've helped us understand this moment and all of our roles in it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Who do you know who would get a lot out of this discussion? Please share The State of Belief with them and be sure to subscribe to The State of Belief at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. We need your help to continue growing The State of Belief. Please make a financial contribution today at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Religion News Service or Religion News Foundation. The State of Belief is produced by Ray Kirstein and is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week. I can't wait. I am talking with Sam Helmick, the president of the American Library Association. Until then, I'm Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch at The State of Belief, where religion and democracy meet.